Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the radio network, the transmitting jewel of the South, WRB 3.185. Glad to have you aboard. We got a great message. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them if they want to know anything about angels, if they've ever wondered about the power and the majesty and the intrigue of the mystery of angels. We're going to cover it tonight the best we can. And so we're going to get started on that. We're brought to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, special by an anonymous sponsor out of the great state of Mississippi. And we're glad to be here joining you live around the world on worldwide radio. Well, who are angels? Well, what are angels? How do angels originate? How many angels are there? Do angels have bodies? What do angels look like? Do people become angels after they die? How do angels compare to human beings? Are all angels good? What is the job description for an angel? Well, we're going to cover some of those intriguing mysteries that provoke a need for an answer. And we hope that the scriptures could shed some light. You know, if you want to know something about the Bible, you got to search it. And to search it, and then you got to put it in right order. The Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little. The question, do people become angels after death? And the answer is no. Angels are not glorified human beings. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, it explains that angels are not supposed to marry or to reproduce like humans. And yet, we know, according to Genesis chapter 6, that they did that very thing in rebellion. These are the rebellious angels, and the book of Jude says that they were cast down. Remember, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that there was war in heaven. And these angels, they literally fought against each other. And that just amazes me. That somewhere out there, or somewhere in here, wherever that these angels abide. And we do know that all of them, they abode in heaven. But they had interaction, and they still do, by the way. They have interactions with the people on the earth. And the Bible said, be not forgetful to entertain angels, for some have entertained angels unaware. Now, we'll deal a little bit more with that subject in just a moment or two here. But we know that the Bible is very distinct and clear that angels can and did at one time reproduce in their likeness. And the Bible says that here's what the New World Translation Bible, and I suggest that you get it. It's a good one. It's a good translation in this particular matter. Others are not as good. But in this one, it really nails it. It said, and this is what it said. It says that unrighteous evil spirits mated with the daughters of man. Now that's very clear. And so then, if these glorified beings lost their glory or lost their estate, and that's what Jude says in the book of Jude, he says those that did not keep their first estate were cast down. That means that they no longer, once they wanted to mate, and Satan set the example. And then he convinced one-third of the angels, and I can't I mean, this almost boggles the mind that this evil angel, Satan, would attempt this rebellion because he wanted to exalt his throne above the stars, these other angels. And Yahweh wasn't pleased with that. And the Bible said, if we let them alone. Now, not only was he talking about man, but he's talking about the angels. He said, nothing will be restrained from them. Because these angels had inside information and knowledge. They're very powerful. And as we said last night, the devil, it took Michael and Gabriel both to withstand the devil, or to resist the devil, or to drive him back. And at times, the book of Jude says, Michael, the war angel, dared not bring a railing accusation against Satan. I mean, he feared him. Michael, the war angel, but said, Yahweh rebuke you. And so there's times when Yahweh himself has to intervene, just like he did when he come down in Genesis 6. And he hadn't been down here. He didn't really, it didn't seem like the way the Bible is expressing itself to us in written form, that he said, let us go down and let us behold the sons of men. And when he came down, he was appalled. And the Bible said it repented him that he'd ever made man. I mean, it almost gets to the point where Yahweh is trying to tell us something about the nature of these fallen ones. When they mix with man, it becomes a deadly, corrupt combination. And of course, he warned us. He said, don't do this. Because in heaven, now this is in heaven, but see, they were cast out into the earth. And he said, in heaven they neither marry nor give them. That was the loyal angels. That was the one that remained true. But when Satan was going to and fro in the earth with the other angels, they had to run of the universe. And I believe they still do, and to a certain extent. Now, what does the Bible mean in Jude when it says that these are reserved in chains? In other words, there's a restraining order. Well, if you read Revelation chapter 20, it's very clear. When Michael and his angels prevailed against the dragon and his angels, the Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven. In other words, his Roman days were over. There was places in the heavens he couldn't go. And there's things he certainly couldn't do, and there's things he don't know. We know that for sure. So then, we have these renegade, rebellious rebels, if you will, these archangels, they were bound in chains of darkness. Now, where's that at? Well, the Bible describes the descent of Satan was that he was taken, the great angel Michael, in the 20th chapter of Revelation. The Bible said that he took Satan out into the deep, along with his angels. Now, wherever they were put on and I believe that they are on a wayward planet, somewhere out in our solar system, and they're restrained by the word chain is nothing but more than a spiritual boundary or a dimension that bound them in a dimension and are locked in there. And they can't come back to earth in their natural bodies. And we're going to get into the mystery of how an angel can be a ministering spirit and yet be a flesh and body. We don't know about the blood, but we do know that they can become flesh, solid flesh objects on the earth in the third dimension. They have this unique ability, and I don't know how they do that. But they do when they're permitted to come back to earth in the third dimension. And so then we're going to get into these things. Angels are a company of, or they are an association And they descended, or they did not descend, from any earthly offspring. Matter of fact, the angels mated with the daughters of men, and from them came a different hybrid, if you will. This is the sin of Satan. He produced a hybrid. Cain is nothing but a spiritual flesh and blood hybrid. And Yahweh was very displeased with him. He even told his children not to mix with these demonic offspring hybrids. And yet they look so much like man. And Cain, I mean, he came from Eve, and he came from the beautifulest creature in the universe. And so they became very talented. They became very efficient city builders. The Bible said that the race of Cain built large cities, and they're city dwellers, because the earth will not yield to this seed. Now, if you know any people on earth today that the earth won't yield to, and they have to be supported as parasites, and that means that they are masters of money. They love money. Do you know of any people like that today? And these are the miracle workers. They have transformed themselves into angels of light. They love the chief seats. They're sitting in the big power seats of the world, and are known to us as the hidden shadow governments around the world that is controlled by the Illuminati. The Illuminati, the illuminated ones, the light beings, come from their father. So then, the ordinary people who carry messages, and the angels who are, in a sense, they are messengers. Now, sometimes, and speaking figuratively, if you will, of events, they are messengers, and we know that the angel, it says, that followed the house of Israel was in a pillar of cloud. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Now, write that one down and look at it. It's very strange that they had to follow and keep up with the Israelites in a pillar of cloud. It didn't say clouds, but pillar of cloud. And they were in the pestilence, and they brought the plagues in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 16 through 17. But if you really look at overall of these angelic beings and the fact that they can war against each other in the heavens, it should be no great mystery that the prize that they're warring about is man. Both the good and the evil angels are sent here to either oppose or to protect. Now, we know that the good angels are almost forbidden to interfere with the affairs of man except in extreme emergencies. And we're going to prove that to you. We're going to tell you exactly how and why that these angels interact with man and for what purposes. Now, did you know that the Bible speaks about creation of angels? Well, it really does. And I'm going to give you the scriptures that would indicate that they were created. That means they have a beginning. And if they have a beginning, they have an end. It's possible that they could have an end, as maybe the fallen angels. And we're going to give you the scriptures that indicate that in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, let me just read that, Nehemiah verse 6. Thou, even thou art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and with their host, the earth and all things that are in, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship you. Now listen to that. Thou hast made heaven and the host. That's the angelic host. Both good and bad. You know, they prove themselves. The bad ones. And I cannot. It almost behooves me to tell you that these angels that had all of this glory and all of this power were so tempted. They really were tempted by all of these things that happened. Now look at, if you will, let's go over, let me read you, let me just read you another one. Psalms 148, 2. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all you hosts. Let them, listen to this now. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. Verse 5. 148 Psalms. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. Well, isn't, you know, we're just a little bit lower than the angels, and that's what we're commanded to do. We're to praise the name of Yahweh. For He commanded, and they were created. Right there it is. He also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Verse 5 again. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. Angels praise the name. And then some of them blasphemed the name and were cast down. For Yahweh commanded and they were created. Listen to that. So angels do indeed have a creation just like man. And the only difference is He made them a little higher to be ministering assistants, if you will. Now, the Bible says ministering spirits, but in this sense, from dimension to dimension, and they have the ability, especially when they're on assignment or given a special assignment by Yahweh. They have to be authorized. They came down unauthorized to mate with the daughters of men because they were told not to marry. In heaven, they neither marry or given in marriage. And people say, well, as you see, then angels didn't mate with man, the daughters of man. Well, they were not supposed to. But when they broke and rebelled, this is what brought about the disobedience, and for that there was a just punishment, and Jude explains it again. He explains it again, ladies and gentlemen. That they're reserved in chains in darkness. Now, both of those are, they're not literally in a dungeon, real dark dungeon, with leg chains and arm chains. This word chain is restrictor. They are somewhere doing their thing, still going to and fro to wherever their boundaries are, but they're not to come. Now listen to this now. I'm gonna give you something here. They're not to interfere again because they were chased off the earth in the sixth chapter of Genesis until they were chased off, and they're not to interfere until the chain is cut. Well, if you read again, it says, and I saw a mighty angel come down, and the chain, the restraining order, or the dimensional shift, and we've talked about that. It could be an electronic dimensional shift that the angel, when he says he cut the restraining chain, and then he cried out to the inhabitants of the earth, woe unto you for Satan. See, they've got to come. They've got to appear. They've got to come here bodily. And we're going to prove to you that they are bodily. For all things were created, this is Colossians, and we're going to go to there. Let me give it to you here. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Now, read with me. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by Him, not them, not us, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, listen to that. All things were created that are in heaven. Are you with me? And that are in earth, visible and invisible. You can't see an angel. He's invisible until he comes in to the third dimension. Now he has to have a body, a solid, innate body. It has to take on this body, unless it's authorized to stay hidden, and it can actually speak out of a cloud, or it can speak through plagues, or it can literally slay people on the earth. There's emphasis on that they can actually weld a sword or some kind of a killing device. They are. You talk about the killer. They're killers. And they don't mind. There's no sin for them to kill if they're righteous angels. Now, when Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy, and that was his mission, he was given limited power to do that. When angels are commanded to go forth, 185,000 Assyrians, this is amazing, were killed one night alone by one angel. It said the angel of Yahweh came and got into the camp of the Assyrians and slayed the enemy of the house of Israel, and by killing 185,000 in one night. What power! Oh my. What might! As long as it pleases the Father. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased him. Now, there's a category of both good and evil angels, and special categories such as the cherubim, the seraphim, and the archangels. Now, Let's go into the question, how many angels are there? Well, right there, the Bible becomes very, very silent on the number. Remember that David got in trouble trying to number the house of Israel, making a census, and Yahweh sent an angel. Now, this is the good angel killing the good people. Now, again, I'm mystified. I don't know about you, but where in the world and why in the world would Yahweh command 70,000 people in one day? David, when he commenced the census, it angered Yahweh because he had done told David not to do that. And David was just beside himself with his power. And so he wanted to number and see how many warriors he could have. Now, the reason he took the census is that every male in Israel became a viable candidate for the military service. And I think he wanted to do a census to see how many outstanding armies he could get, because he's fixing to go into battle. But every time that David tried to do it himself, he lost a battle. And every time that he waited on Yahweh, like, for instance, Yahweh told him, he said, "You go up, and I will deliver the enemy into your hand." And David said, "How am I going to know that? How will I know that you're going to do this? And what will be a sign?" And he said, "You go up under the mulberry tree, and you stand there until you hear the rustling in the wind blowing through the mulberry tree." Some amazing signs and wonders that Yahweh give. And here come the angels. And they gave Israel a overwhelming victory that day. So then, if you look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, a fiery stream. Daniel said, "I saw him sitting on a throne." Now listen to this now. This is about as close as you can get to the angelic host that wait on Yahweh at his command. All he has to do is speak a word. One time he spoke a word, and when in the book of Micah, and he was concerned about the kings, the evil kings, that wanted to go up to war, and he done prophesied they would, but he had to have somebody to persuade him, and one of his angels said, when he looked through the heavens that were ministering to him, and he came up to one angel, and this angel said, I'll go persuade him. And Yahweh specifically asked him, this is amazing, it's wrote in here. Yahweh said, now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is preconceived. This is action and plotting and planning and going on in heaven, and I'm sure it's going on right now. And it will continue to go on. And I'll tell you some things that are going to climax in our series of angels when we get down to, hopefully we can do a three-part series here, because this is a very, very compelling and necessary revelation of angels, which you very seldom hear anybody get into depth and teach you what I'm teaching you. So you're getting the meat here on the table tonight with Pastor Buddy. I beheld, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him as he sat upon the throne. And thousands ministered unto him. And listen to this now. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 1,000 times thousands ministered unto him. Oh my. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that there is enough of these mighty ones to right now destroy everything on earth if Yahweh spoke the word to these righteous angels and gave them the command to destroy every living being upon the earth and then save those whom he had ink marked. Did you know that the Bible describes that they were numbering the people on earth, the angels were, and they were told to go through and they put a seal upon the heads of those that they wanted to preserve? And the ones that didn't have the seals, the other angels followed them and killed them. Did you know that's exactly what's going to happen in the end time? When 10,000 times 10,000s stood before him, the judgment was set and the books were open. What is the books? The recipe for salvation. How do you get salvation, Pastor Buddy? Well, you repent and you get baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. That's moving and pardon. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, even as many as are far off, even as many as Yahweh will mark with the sign. Now that sign has got to be in your forehead. And Revelations 22:4 tells you what that sign is. Remember I told you that the angels called on the name of Yahweh? And that man was commanded to call on the name of Yahweh? Well, it says in Revelation 22:4, and I saw these come into the city through the 12 gates. Oh my, I really get chill bumps when I think about that. They came through the gates. That's the entrance path for the 12 tribes only. There's no more room, no more gates for anything other than the house of Israel chosen before the foundation of the world with their names on the Lamb's book. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, and they had the name of Yahweh in their foreheads. Hebrews 1:14, angels are essentially now ministering spirits. But what is an angel? What does the Bible say that angels are? Well, again, the Bible says that they are ministering spirits. But it also says that they can come into this dimension in a flesh body. I don't know how that works. But it works, because we'll prove that to you before we get through with our series and the origination of angels and how they came and how many that there are. Now you know that there's 10 times tens of thousands. And Yahweh's chariots These are the great ships that these angelic beings ride in. They just don't fly through the air with wings. You see, this thing about angels having wings, you say, well, buddy, you know, if Yahweh was to command them to come down here, you mean that they would have to travel in a vehicle? Well, how do you get up there? How's our astronauts up there right now? They're in a vehicle, aren't they? They're going out to the other planets. Where is heaven? Better yet, where's hell? That's where the fallen angels are. They're bound in the deep on a planet, and they're going to return. And when you see these signs, these are the great starships. And ladies and gentlemen, I've had the privilege of seeing them myself. Yahweh has showed me over the years many, many strange experiences with these out-of-this-world craft. They can fly at enormous speeds. They pass speed, the speed of light, which is too incredible to talk about the speed that these things can move. They warp time and they can travel outside the timeline. This is how they travel the great distances from stars to stars and from planets to planet. Because there's many in the area of that they transport themselves. And in Psalm 68, verses 10 through 15, it talks about the chariots of Yahweh being thousands. Oh my. And these enormous ships are the motherships especially. They have got the scout ships, but their motherships are so huge that by earthly measurement, these things could measure many miles in distance. These things are so, it's almost like a floating city. And these craft can fly so far and so fast. And they can get here in almost a moment's notice if Yahweh commands them. Now, what do they look like? Well, since angels are spirits rather than physical beings, they don't have to be visible at all. They can appear visible, or they can appear invisible. This is the greater. That's why that the Bible said that they are a little higher than man. So Elisha, who once prayed that his servants, we're going to go there, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 16 through 19, and the name is Shaphat of Abel Manoah, who became the attendant and disciple of Elijah. His name first occurs in the command given to Elijah to anoint him as his successor in 1 Kings 19:16. This was the only one of the three commands that was given to Elijah since he accomplished on his way from Sinai to Damascus. He found Elisha as his native place, engaged in the labors of the field, plowing with 12 oxen. He went over to him. Now listen to that figure, plowing with 12 oxen. Don't you know the number 12 is complete government? And this mantle is fixing to fall upon this mighty man's shoulders. His mantle was rough, and at once Elijah adopted him as a son and invested in him with the prophetical office, which is to be compared to Luke 9:61-62. Elisha accepted the call thus given about 4 years before the death of Ahab, and for some 7 to 8 years became the close attendant of Elijah till he was parted and taken from him up to heaven. Now, we know that this meaning of this man who was chosen, we know that Yahweh was going to use him for a mighty miracle. The rain came, when the army of Jerom was faint from thirst, in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. Of the multiplying of the poor widow's cruse of oil in 4, 1 through 7. The miracle of restoring to life the son of the woman in 2 Kings 4, 18 through 37. The multiplication of the 20 loaves of new barley into a sufficient supply for 100 men in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Of the curse of Nathan, the Syrian, of his leprosy in 5, 127 of 2 Kings. Of the punishment of Gehazi for his falsehood and his covetousness. Of the recovery of the axe lost in the waters of the Jordan in 6, 1 through 7. Of the miracle of Dothan halfway on the road between Samaria and Jerel. Of the siege of Samaria by the king of Syria, and the terrible suffering of the people in connection with it, and Elisha's prophecy as to the relief that would come in 2 Kings. Now, going on, we find that Elisha did many, many miracles in this time to bring about the prophecy that he would get a double portion. Now, this again, this was assisted by angels when Elijah asked the servant to have his eyes opened. And let me tell you what he saw. Ladies and gentlemen, he saw wall to wall the angels and their chariots. Wall to wall, the chariots of Yahweh's angels. And he quit fretting because he was worried about his master and their life because the soldiers of the king had surrounded him. And once he had his eyes open to see that there is an encampment of angels. Ladies and gentlemen, if we understood that we're loved, why are not we concerned about these things? Is it because we don't love Yahweh like they did? Was Abraham visited by three heavenly messengers? Well, I think so. In Genesis 18, Abraham welcomed these guests who appeared to be first nothing more than some travelers. But in the following chapter, the two angels went to Sodom, and now we find that they were a little bit more than simply human visitors. And the third man was Yahweh himself. Now, that's amazing that Yahweh could manifest and come to earth and eat a Passover meal with Abraham and have his feet washed and go through the rituals of the time of unleavened bread, because that's what they were serving. Abraham and Lot both were serving unleavened bread, and the only time you're commanded to eat that is in the Passover season. Wasn't it appropriate that Yahweh was going to come and pass over Abraham and spare his life? And finally, after most challenging of Abraham, when he was told to find five righteous people left in the cities, he got down to five, and he couldn't find them. He only got three out there. He got Lot and his two daughters. And then the other two angels, they destroyed. I mean, they pulverized the fire and the brimstone of this gigantic thermonuclear explosion, where that it turned Sodom and Gomorrah into a pile of ashes of brimstone and sulfur. It takes tremendous heat to do that. Whatever kind of thermonuclear device that they employed and set off. Oh, man. It is awesome. It is awesome what these. Then, and Zechariah, then I lifted up my eyes, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then I said to the angel that talked with me, where do these bear, or whether do these, where are they going to take this ephah? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now listen, let me back up and give you that again. This is the only scripture in the Bible, with one exception, and I'll read that to you just in a minute, where that they are possibly women angels. I hate to say that, this male chauvinist attitude I've got, but it looks like. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. Oh my. And they were taking this great ephah to the land of Shinar. And everybody said that was the United States. That they were lifting out the holy relics of Yahweh and getting them out of there. Well, I don't know about you, but it's wonderful. It is wonderful. It is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, what we've got going on in our life and around our bodies, and we just don't realize the power. We just don't realize the power. Now, in the book of Mark, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, for you seek the Messiah of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these angels are anywhere they need to be. Now, when I say they're anywhere they need to be, you can bet one thing for sure, that they're still where they need to be. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I just don't know. I've never seen one. Well, look at this. Genesis 1 and 3. All the more glorious emotions of the mind, all the pleasing sensations, all the happy hours that these descendants of fallen angels that wanted to have intercourse, and they were bound for the sin of rebellion. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to know that the glory of Yahweh is forever settled, and that the time has come that you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, are all angels good? Nope. You can't trust every angel. The Bible classifies some as the elect in 1 Timothy 5:21. Now, if you really want to know that the election of grace, it is also applies to the created angels. All angels were originally holy until iniquity was found in the rebellions. So then they have the ability to sin. And Yahweh has the ability to cast them down to hell. Where all nations is going with them that obey not the Bible, and for those things that the Bible says. Now, we know that these sons of God who fell, and we know that they are now bound in a lower dimension, and in part two, we're going to tell you about the great destroyers. These angels are so destructive. And we know that these angels are powerful. When they are in the time of trouble, when you're surrounded, they can deliver you. They can actually close the eyes of literal mortal man. And then they can walk right by you and you can't even see them. You don't even know that. They can paralyze your mind in fear. Now the word angel actually comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. The matching Hebrew word is malak, which has the same meaning in the Hebrew. So messengers. Messages. They bring the message. They bring the inspiration. They bring the safety. They surround you. They're always present with you. And yet you don't know it. So if you don't know how that the angels are present, then that means that they are commanded not to interfere with your life. You know, if you got addicted to an angel every time you got in trouble, you know, you'd be daring and take chances, and if the angel had to deliver you every time you'd done those foolish things, so watch out. Sometimes they'll let you hit the wall. Sometimes they'll let you have a great fall, just like they did when Balaam, the unrighteous, money-loving, money-grubbing preacher, and we got plenty of them today, ladies and gentlemen, they need to get on their mules, on their asses, and ride down and get between a rock and a hard place, just like old Balaam did when the little ass, he saw the angel standing in the narrow passage with his sword drawn. And for sure, if old Balaam, if this ass actually saved that false prophet, if you will, that money-loving, money-grubbing preacher, Balaam, he saved his neck. And sometimes it takes an ass to save your neck. Because when you make an ass out of yourself, you're going to need someone to save you. Well, the angel stood there with his sword drawn and the little ass moved over against the rock and crushed old Balaam's foot, and Balaam got off and just, you know, wailed the tire out of him. Ladies and gentlemen, and then the ass began to speak. They got a message for you, ladies and gentlemen. Even animals, they can recognize and sense these beings being in your presence where you can't even see them. And when Balaam's eyes were opened and he saw the angel, he fell upon his face in fright and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yahweh. Did you know that the book of Revelations is giving us encouragement? Because angels strengthen the Messiah after his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Encourage the apostles to keep preaching after releasing them from prison in Acts chapter 5 verses 19 through 20. And an angel told Paul that everyone on his ship would survive the impending shipwreck in Acts 27 verses 23 through 25. But they had to stay on the ship. I want you to stay on the ship tonight. I want you to get your life right. I want you to repent. I want you to get baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way in to the temple. one way in and no way out. Once Yahweh has brought you in to His abode, why would you want to leave? Why would you depart? Why would you stand and wait for some other, if there would be some other for you to wait on to give you a better deal than Yahweh can give you? He loved you before the foundation of the world. He's not going to lose you. He's not going to ever leave you. He's going to go with you all the way into the world. And just a moment, when we go off, I'm going to play you a song that is so beautiful. One Pair of Hands. Put your life in this great pair of hands. Let Him hide you in the palm of His hand. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about his power. You know, we have so many of our people that are frightened about the government, so powerful. We give the devil so much power. And yet, did you know that he has only what Yahweh gives him? And the ultimate superior power is in Yahweh and His angels. And that there is a multitude of angels that's watching over you right tonight. You may not think nobody cares. You may be alone. But if you're a believer and if you've got your name on the Lamb's book, you can rest assured that the very hairs on your head is numbered. There is a host of angels that if you get up and brush your hair in the morning, they know how many fell to the floor. And you say, Pastor Buddy, I just wish I could believe that. I feel so alone and neglected and discouraged and despondent. Ladies and gentlemen, take heart even in the time of trouble, because it says in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, I read it last night for you, and I feel like quoting some of it again. At that time, Michael. Now you know who he is. It ain't Gabriel the messenger. I mean, the message is already over, ladies and gentlemen, when Michael stands up one more time to finally put the light out of Satan, to destroy Satan and his angels, and to judge those that's been misbehaving, misbelieving. If you want to compromise and go out to the world, the denominational system is nothing but a farce. It's so false they won't acknowledge truth. You know why? Because they lose their congregation. They're afraid. You see, they love the praise of man more than they love the praise of Yahweh. Yahweh wants you to put on the armor and be a soldier. He don't want you halfway in and halfway out. He don't want you lukewarm. Yahweh would have you on a bar stool drinking Jack Daniels and cold as kraut than to be over there with the lukewarmers warming a bench, hearing the same old, same old. He said, come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, for her sins has reached up into heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get off here. My time is coming on. I've enjoyed my hour with you. May Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Monday night on WWRB 3.185 Around the World Clear Channel, the Transmitting Jewel of the South. And then Tuesday night, we're coming in Tuesday night at 11 p.m. All you Mountain Time people, all you Pacific Time people, all you Central Time people, I'll be on in your time zone in prime time. Now, some of you Eastern people, we'll have to stay up a little bit late if you want to listen to Pastor Buddy. I'll give you a part two Monday night of angelic beings and the powers that they wield in the earth and in the heavens. So, we love you. We appreciate you. And we know that Yahweh's coming soon for a people that's kept the faith and ain't denied His name. Would you like to join us over there in glory? Would you like for the angels to love you and hold you in their hand? Well, they can do that, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to write me tonight, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee 37824. I have so many people tell me that, Buddy, you just talk so fast. I just can't get that address. Let me do it again. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. I'd like to talk with you and chat with you. I'll enjoy your calls. Call me, area code 423-626-2172. Our website tonight is oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. We have all of our messages posted up. This one will be up very soon. We love you a whole lot. We're praying for you. And we'll see you Monday night live with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on Worldwide Radio, WWRB 3.185. Yahweh keep you now. Put your faith into one pair of hands. I encourage you, repent today and be baptized in Yahweh's name for the remission of sins. Put that name right in your forehead, and then in Revelations 22:4, read that and see if you're going to go. You're going to make the grade, you got to get in His name. I love you. Many blessings to you, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh bless you.